Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is one of your apostles, W.J. Armstrong, waiting for Apostle McIntyre and Apostle Miller. We are here today to speak a word of hope, speak a word of that brings joy, speak a word that brings comfort in the times that we are living in. We are the people of purpose. The Creator not only called us, but He chose us. But time is this. You know, it's amazing what's happening now all over the earth. The amount of stress, amount of tension, and all of that's happening. And it's interesting, real interesting, how we can depend and lean on the promises of the Creator. Lean on the promise of Elohim, the promise that He made in the Torah, what we call the Old Testament. Those promises He made there, we can watch them now as they're being fulfilled. I think we have Apostle Miller.
Yes, sir. How are you? Good evening.
All right. That's great. That's great.
Is Apostle McIntyre yet?
No, she's not here yet. And I was just sort of setting it up, the whole patient bit, and how we have been, first I was talking about us. We are the ones that the Creator has chosen to be in this time slot. He chose us for this purpose, His purpose, and that's what we are here for, to speak words of comfort, to speak words of joy, speak words of hope that will bring all that into the lives of those who are listening. It did it for us. I know it did it for me, the word. Stand on the word. Made it clear. When you've done all you can do, stand on the word. And if we understand that, we stand on the word, He'll do the rest. But the word today is what? Patience. Patience. And that came to me not in terms of a Bible verse or anything like that. It came to me when I was sitting in the line waiting to put gas in my car at Costco. I was there. Good evening, Apostle McIntyre. How are you?
Good evening. Supernaturally wonderful, sir. How are you?
I am fantastic, and so is Apostle Miller. She's hanging out here with us today.
Well, hello, Apostle Miller.
How are you, Apostle? I hear that you're fantastic. So am I.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. We are speaking it. And that's one thing that I want people, our listeners, to understand. We live that which we speak about on this radio program, this ministry. It's a ministry for us because we have been called out from among the congregations, and we have been set aside for a time as this. When I mean set aside, we have been chosen by the Creator. He chose us, and He's given us the words to share with people. And I was just sharing the fact that I was sitting in the line at Costco the other, I can't remember now whether it was Sunday or Wednesday. I was sitting in the line waiting, getting a little warm. It was hot that day. I mean, hot. And I'm saying, now why in the world is taking this line so long? The line wasn't moving. It took about 20 minutes for me to get up to the gas pump. And, you know, if I hadn't had patience, I would have been lamenting and complaining and speaking negative all over the place. But what came to me was that the promise. The promise is I didn't buy the card. I got a Costco card. You pay the membership fee, and you get discount based on whatever the pricing point is for the day. Now, the pricing point for gas was $3, and I think that day was $3.28, which was about 30 cents cheaper than the service station, the cheapest service station. So it was hot. It was so hot. I sat there. And I did start to grumble and complain, you know, like they did when they were out in the desert. And, you know, I forgot that, you know, the reason I'm there is because of the discount I needed. I think that day I needed 13 gallons. Now, you add up the savings. I bought the car. And as long as I get gas from there, I've already paid for the fee that I paid to get the car. And, you know, it's patience. Just because you got a card saying that you're going to get discount, sometimes you're going to have patience in order to reap the rewards. And but the day it really came to me today, I get there. And I look up, that line is shorter. I go to go get in that line, and by the time I get there, they move. That line over there is shorter. And my thing was, I could back up and get over there. By that time, somebody came in, but what hit me, I could cause an accident by backing up trying to get in that line. Patience. Be patient. You're going to get the fuel from this line that you're in. Just be patient. That line on there may appear to be shorter, but if that person up there has a pickup truck or one of those vans that holds 24 gallons, it's going to take a while for them to fill it up. So I sit there and I smile. I didn't grumble. I didn't complain. I sit there, and that's whenever the whole thing started coming to me that I could move. And when I got up there, it was $3.19. I saved 40 cents on a gallon. And I said, now, if I would have, because I wanted, I started this pull out and leave. And if I would have left, I would have lost about $6. And here, complaining and grumbling about it, what good did that do? That would have caused me, I wouldn't have gotten a promise. And you say, now how? Who promised? Well, the fee that I paid says that if I pay the fee for this card and use it, their price point is going to be less because they're going to give a discount. And then I would have gone to the other pump at the other station, and then I've been grumbling and complaining over there. Why is it so high? It just don't make sense. But patience. And this is one that came to me, I thought of. Matthew 6, which said, you know, we shouldn't be anxious for nothing. The Creator promised we shouldn't be concerned about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, or anything like that. That ran through. And then I picked up later on this one in Hebrew. Really, it says, Hebrew chapter 10, verse 36. For ye have need of patience. Yes, I did. that after ye have done the will of God, and now people might say I'm stretching it, but will of God, God placed that card, placed Costco there. He gave the knowledge and information about that card and about the benefits. And so I had done the will of God by ministering and all of that. And this is like a promise. And then it says, ye might receive the promise. He said, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious for nothing. 319 was a lot better than 359, which is about a 40 cent difference in the price per gallon. And I know I got 12 gallons. I might have got more, but I know it's 12. And now instead of my being anxious and I could have tried to get out and sideswiped somebody trying to get out of that line to leave, but I learned to stay there. I stayed there and relaxed. And by staying there and relaxing, I received the promise. And there was another one. It says, this is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, be completely humble. That's what I wound up having. I had to be humble. It said, be completely humble and gentle. Don't be screaming and hollering and stomping and complaining what other people are not doing or what other people should be doing and move, get them to move on out of the way. And it said that after ye have done, no, that's the wrong one. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. And this says bearing one another in love. But I just stopped there. Be patient. I could not have been humble. I could not have been gentle. And I could have complained. And I could have got out of that line and went somewhere else. And then I would really have been complaining and cussing and fussing and going on. Because the price of gas shot up overnight. Yeah. We have to think about the things that we are doing and what we are saying and why we are doing it and why we are saying it. And whenever we do that, then we realize the power of the Creator. We realize the promise. We realize what he said in Matthew 6. It's coming to pass. Yeah, it wasn't free, but it was more manageable than the other. So we have to look at it, the small things. A lot of us don't look at the small things and don't thank God for the small things. So that was the lesson that I learned today. And I was trying to sit here wondering what's going to be the topic of the discussion. And that word came to me, patient. 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 If we be patient and allow God to do what God will say that he will do, we will, as Sister Apostle Miller, we can count it all joy as we go through these things. Well, I start counting it joy. I start sitting there thinking and reflecting. And I found a peace even in my thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got today from the Word, from knowing the Word, how that Word that I know brought me that level of peace. And it came from patience, having patience. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have a testimony or have a comment? Now, I will say this. I did think of somebody that's on the line with us and how they always say they don't concerning themselves about the gas prices and about other prices. They know that the Creator will provide or has provided. I'm pretty sure the person that hears that knows who I'm talking about. I don't talk about people behind their back get hurt.
You know, Apostle, I don't. As I stated, I have two automobiles, thank God for them. And one of them used premium and the other is unleaded plus. And I don't know how much I'd be paying. I just pull up to the tank and fill up because I know that's a need. And God promised that he'll supply my needs, and so far he has.
Yes.
And even with patience, when I was independent, and sometimes now when I depend on my own ability, that's when I find myself mumbling and complaining. But if I know that I'm trusting in God, I can wait patiently. And while I'm waiting on the manifestation, I have that blessed assurance that the Lord's going to do just what he said he's going to do. One of the things that I've been meditating, and the Lord been talking to me a lot in the last 2 weeks, do you really believe? Do you really believe what I say in my word? Whatever problem we dealing with, whatever we facing, God done gave us a promise. And the Lord said,
right.
He said, a lot of times people say they believe him, but their words and their actions show that they don't believe or they don't trust what God says. And so one of the fruit is being patient. And James said, we can count it all joy, but he said, knowing this. And I think when we truly know, have some knowledge and understanding about who God is, God's integrity, it makes a difference, you know, because like I said, I just pull up to the tank. But sometimes I'm tempted, you know, to say, okay, this time, how I'm going to do this in? And God let me know, he said, and you got to totally rely on me for everything, not just some things. And I think a lot of times we get impatient when we looking at what we going to do or how it's going to turn out. But if we truly rely on what God says about a situation, I think that's what we can wait and be of good courage, you know. And so there, too, again, like I said, when it comes down to the gas and stuff, I just pull up to the tank. I think you do that, too, Apostle Gwen, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
So like I said, I don't know how much I'd be paying for gas. All I know when I fill it up, it might be 30, sometimes with the car it might be 50, it might be 60 at all. And after I get through, I say, thank you, Lord, for supplying the need, and I just go on. But I think the more that I walk with the Lord, I'm really getting to the point that said I can really discern when I'm truly believing and trusting what God, taking God at his word, and when I'm slow to it, you know. I know I'm kind of shifting a little bit, but like I said, that really been in my spirit a lot lately. Do you really believe what I say? Do you really, truly believe and trust what I say? You know. And so that's what I've been, you know, I've been kind of calling me on the topic about some stuff.
Yeah, now you're not by yourself because all this week the enemy has been attacking. Been attacking in the area of finance and in other areas. And what keep coming to me is that God told me several weeks ago, he said, when you've done all you can do, stand. And stand on what? The word. And that's what I've been doing. I just been speaking the word to those situations and circumstance that the enemy has been trying to throw up. And every time I speak the word to it, I find peace. A peace that passes understanding, because I don't understand what God is doing or why God is doing what he's doing. But I know that he is in control. And I know what the word says. I just stand on his word. And that's just what he's showing me. It's similar to what you just said. Do you really believe what I said? If you do, stand on it.
Because I believe sometimes, Apostle, we say we be believers. Because one of my spiritual daughter called me, and she owned her own beauty shop. She's a beautician. And she was sharing with me how, you know, she said some of her clients come in, and even though they're doing things for the Lord for other people, but they find themselves in bondage and dealing with things from even when after. And the Lord began to share with her. She said, I'm trying to get some help. I said, it all boiled down to, do you really believe? And I found out the way we got saved, the way I got saved, I had to believe on Jesus, and I had to, you know, trust him to come and believe with my heart and confess with my mouth, the Lord Jesus, and I would be saved. Well, I found out in life, that's the way we going to receive from God. Everything we want, everything we need, we got to believe in our heart and confess it with our mouth. And I'm serious. A lot of times, I just don't believe saints be believing. Now, the Bible said the devil believe and he tremble. My question is, it got to be a different the way I believe than what the devil believes. In Mark 11, he said, have faith in God. One translation said, have the faith of God. So I really believe in the time and the hour we living in, we really going to find out, do we truly believe God? Do we truly believe what God said in his word? You know, he said, by my stripes you are healed. Do we believe that, or do we trust in their pain? So I think what's going on in the world today, it's helping me to really kind of step back and say, okay, now, Ann, this is what God said about that. Do you really believe and trust what he says? You know, because I really believe sometime at the end of the day, a lot of times the saints ain't believing. I mean, you know, I think Apostle Gwen and I had this conversation about something we both were talking about, and this is what God let me, he said, don't believe. Y'all saying y'all believe, but the way y'all respond to y'all situation, the way you respond, what's coming out of your mouth, it really let you know whether you truly believe and trust what he said about it. That's even right. In the moment when Jesus and the God of Gethsemane, Jesus was calm, he was cool, calm, and collect. Even though at first his emotion tried to get the best of him, but when he took the time and prayed, he was just so cool. Because he said, for this cause I came, you know. And he believed that he should know. So there too again, you know, like I said, this really what been in my spirit for the last 2 weeks or so. Do you really believe what I say about your situation? Because I done gave y'all a promise, Ann. But it's nothing on this earth that happened to us that God ain't spoke on or gave us a promise. But do we really believe and trust what he says? Dr. McIntyre.
Pause of love, you have been paid.
Hello. I love how y'all gang up to throw me under the bus. I love it.
Well, you can sound like you count it all joy to be under the bus, so go ahead.
I do. Especially when I know y'all under the wheel. See, y'all wouldn't hurt me if y'all already know that. Well, when you all were talking, I do agree wholeheartedly with what the both of you had said. And while you all were talking, I have my Passion Translation Bible laying here. And you had given that Hebrews 6. And I was looking at start with verse 13. It's in Hebrew, the Passion Translation. It said, now when God made a promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater than himself, He swore an oath on his own integrity to keep the promise as sure as God exists. So he said, have no doubt, I promise to bless you over and over and give you a son and multiply you without measure. And verse 16 says, so Abraham waited patiently in faith and succeeded in seeing the promise fulfilled. Now, what stuck out to me was, first of all, God, when he couldn't swear by anybody great because there's nobody greater than him, he swore by himself. He said, on my own integrity as God, I swear an oath to you, and I'm going to keep my, I keep my promise. If God exists, then I keep my promise. And he said, I don't want you to have any doubt because I've already told you what I'm going to do. And he said, I'm going to bless you over and over, not just one time. I'm going to bless you over and over. So it doesn't matter how high they go with the prices. Doesn't matter how high they go with the food. No matter how much, like, he has promised to bless us over and over. Daily he loaded us with his benefits. Daily. And it says, this. So Abraham waited patiently in faith. See, we have to wait in faith. I like what the Apostle Miller said a little bit ago. She said, you know, the devil believe him, but see, the devil's not a faith devil. He's a fear devil. In order to receive from God, you got to wait in faith. He waited patiently in faith and succeeded. See, we have to know that when God gives us the word, it, as far as he's concerned, it's already done. It's already a finished work. It's already in your account. It's already your possession. And while we wait, and it matters how we wait. It's like you said when you were at that gas pump and it was hot and your flesh was trying to get you to stop mumbling and grumbling and complaining. But if we wait in faith, see, I can wait in faith if the person that promised me is a person of integrity. And God is not a man that he should lie. Everything that he has said, everything that he has promised, God, what we have to understand, see, God's already gone to the end of this thing and backed up and walking it back through. That's how he knows how it's going to turn out, because he's been all the way to the end. Blood is everywhere you and I would ever go. The blood is already before us. The blood is on every sickness, every weakness, every disease. It's on every lack, every family situation. The blood has already been applied. And so because we know that God is a God of integrity, for God to lie, the world would have to cease to exist. And you know that's not going to happen. So he swore by himself. And just like he told Abraham, well, we're Abraham's seed. We're heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever God did, if it's on the books, that's what I see a lot of times. It's on the books. If you can go in this Bible and you can find anywhere that God rescued man out of any given situation, and it's your situation, it's on the books. He has to do it for you because he's no respecter person. He's not going to do something for one that he won't do for another. So you can bring that covenant promise to him. And while we are waiting patiently for it to manifest or for it to become tangible where we can lay hold on it, we praise him. We worship him, and we give him the glory. That's how you can wait patiently, because I know that this thing is going to turn out for my good. This thing is going to work in my favor because I have a covenant. So he says in Hebrews 12, he said, after, then he inherited the promise. See, a lot of us want the promise before we've applied it to faith. It doesn't work that way. You've got to apply your faith. Now, it's already done in the spiritual realm. Now, we have to take the word of God and take our faith and bring it into this material realm where we can lay hold on it. I'll say myself, I had was scheduled for a mammogram on yesterday, and I had kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, And the Holy Spirit, I love when he called me on the carpet. I love it. Because all that meant promotion.
That's
and he
right.
said, why do you keep putting it off? He said, all the enemy's trying to do is put fear in you. He said, you got on your wall at church, I'm not a man that I should lie. He said, and I told you, cancer will never come back in your body. Like what Prophet Miller said, he said, now do you believe that? So I went on and had the mammogram, and I so much peace came on me, and I said, God, I thank you. And, you know, you hear, and you, oh, this came back on this person, that came back on this person, after so many years or whatever. I said, no, insane God take care of it. It ain't coming back. No, not on me.
That's
but
right. That's right. That's right.
My words have to help keep that seal. My words of faith, my words have got to be what he has said about the matter. I love it that God don't make us have to come up with our own words. He's already told us what to say. So I said what he said, went on yesterday and had the mammogram. Oh, Apostle Armstrong, be glad you're a man. But anyway,
we have
yesterday evening she said, well, you'll get a letter in maybe a week or two. But they got this thing called My Chart. You can go in immediate. And it came up, and I just pulled it up. And, of course, God keep his word. And I told the Lord, and I didn't, you know, start jumping and hollering or anything. I said, Father, you faithful. Even when we're not faithful, even when we move off a little bit and allow fear to try to intimidate us or anything, God don't change. See, he's the anchor. And if we keep ourselves tied to him, we can patiently wait for the promise. I was thinking about this earth. And no matter how man tries to usurp authority, no matter how man tries to change things the way he wants them, God put a plan in place that he would always have a man. That's what he gave earth, and I may be going off the top of it a little bit, but he gave earth into the hands of man. God has already signed and sealed the blueprint of how this earth is going to work, everything that is going to come up in the middle, and how it's going to come out in the end. And he's always going to have a man. I don't care how smart people get as far as technology, you still got to have somebody to push the button.
Buttons, yes.
You got to. So as we wait patiently for God, it doesn't matter how much unrest we see, how much they're calling for civil this, and there's a lack of this, and there's a lack of that. You know, we need to be echoing the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be echoing what he say. And as we wait patiently for the Lord to subdue our enemies, glory to God, and successfully, they're under our feet, but we got to tread them down. And as we wait patiently, while we're waiting patiently, get in that word. Keep yourself full of the word, because you're going to believe something. Some people say, I don't believe nothing. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You just told me you don't believe nothing. Everybody, you're going to believe something. You either going to walk in faith or you're going to walk in unbelief. So as I patiently read the word of God day by day and allow the Holy Spirit to get it in my heart and seal it in my heart, then I can wait with patience and I can wait with hope and I can wait with trust. Because we serve a God that never changes. We serve a God that is honorable and is full of integrity. And when I saw this, he said, since he could swear by nobody greater, there's nobody greater. He swore by himself. He said, on my own integrity, I'll keep my promise. And because Abraham had history with God, he was able to wait patiently in faith. See, we got to wait in faith. You can't wait in fear. You can't wait in doubt. You can't wait in unbelief. Because whatever you're waiting in, your voice, the words that come out of you will either enclose you in that place or will set you free out of that place. So you got to wait patiently in faith. We can't get past that. They waited patiently in faith, and then he succeeded in seeing the promise. And it's going to be the same way with us. It's going to be the same way with us.
You know, Apostle Gwen, And that's true. There too, he waited. You know, there too again, when we find out, and that is so important, we need to find out what God say about
yes.
our situation.
Yes.
If we don't know what God say, you can't wait
mm-hmm.
in faith. Our faith
right.
is give us the blessed assurance what we hope for it shall be.
Yes.
But that's
yes.
why it's so important. We just like the Lord when he was talking about healing. He said, now, I told y'all in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 8, I think it's 17 to 16, 1 Peter 2, 24. He said,
mm-hmm.
now, I told you by the stripes you were healed. He said, so whenever a symptom show up, even
mm-hmm.
if you praying for somebody, you're supposed to pray with the confidence based upon
yes.
what I said. When I lay hands on you, you're going to
mm-hmm.
be healed. The healing virtue or the healing power of God going to go through my body and it's going to take place. And the Lord, because
yeah.
mm-hmm. I was looking at Jesse the Planet, and he blessed me. He was talking about how the enemy put if in there. And he said
mm-hmm.
so many times, a lot of the saints won't pray. They won't rejoice because the devil tell them, okay, if you lay your hands on them and if they don't get well, what if? What
yeah.
if? What if? And
yeah.
it really ministered to me because, y'all, the things that coming up on this earth going to let
yeah.
all of us know what our faith is. And like I said, when you said he had waited in faith, okay,
yeah.
you can't wait on God in faith, because faith is confidence. Faith totally
mm-hmm.
believes what God said about it. It is. Well, if you don't know what God done said about your situation, then how you going to wait in faith? How you want scripture to
okay.
wait and be of good courage? You got
That's
to
right.
know what God say. And if you sit around mama and complain about your situation, that's a sign you don't believe. That's a sign you not operate in faith. And like
mm-hmm.
the Lord told me a long time ago, the Bible is God's manual. I compare just a manual for my life.
Yes.
Even preaching the gospel is based on what Jesus done already did. That's why when God
yes.
gave me that about the already, all of our
yes.
message about God supposed to be on the already, the finishing work of Christ, what he accomplished. Now, if I truly believe that, even
mm-hmm.
if I go in my bank account and it might be a little low, I can
mm-hmm.
fix it. But Father, I thank you. I thank you. You
mm-hmm.
you supply my needs. He said, I supply your needs according to my riches. Not mine. Even in Matthew 6, and I think about the 24th verse, the Bible tell us
mm-hmm.
that God don't want us to take thought on the necessary things of life, like what we going to eat, what we going to drink, what
mm-hmm.
we going to wear. Them the necessary things of life. But the most
mm-hmm.
needful thing that God want us to really focus on, God, how you function, what you want me to do, and what your part that you play. And there too again, you know, that's why I said lately, for the last couple, I've been meditating on that really. And every
mm-hmm.
time I read a verse, I step back, I say, Ann, do you really
mm-hmm.
trust what God's saying right there? Do you really do that?
Mm-hmm.
Really, Ann? Because like I said, if you mama and complaining,
mm-hmm.
that's not faith. If you frustrated.
That's right.
If you're frustrated about your situation, that's not faith. Because faith
mm-hmm.
is saying, what I'm believing, I know that I know it's going to happen just like God
mm-hmm.
said. Because it's a possible. Our faith is based upon a person. A
yes,
person integrity. A person character. It's like she
that's
said, God is not a man that he shall lie. Because like I said, something be coming at me. Like, you know, my youngest granddaughter, she went to the game tonight. And, you know, because my daughter and my son-in-law, they're in Germany with my great-grand and my grandson. And I said, now, Lord, when she left, I said, now, Lord, you know, she have a special place in my heart. I said, but you know, Father, I trust you. You're going to watch over my granddaughter.
That's
you're
right.
going to take
That's
you
right.
of my granddaughter. Because yeah. doubt mm-hmm. was trying to come. Doubt and fear. And I'm finding out whenever doubt and fear come, we got to learn to doubt our doubt. We got to learn how to cast mm-hmm. down those thoughts of doubt, those thoughts. Thoughts of unbelief and fear. And the way you do it, you got to open your and say, no, I don't receive that. You know, just like when pain hit, any pain hit my body, you know, I find myself, I don't receive that. You would not penetrate my body because by the stripes of Jesus, I believe I was healed. I am here. I'm not going to be here. And then I beg her. I said, I'm not asking God to heal me. I said, I tell you what I'm going to do. Pain, I command you leave my body because you don't have legal right to this body. So again, like I said, and I thank God as God been having me just to go back. And even with myself, do you really believe in? Do you really believe in? Now, I mean, you know, I can't answer that question for nobody but me.
That's
but
right.
I think it'll do a good, because sometimes we teachers say they be believe, and they don't. They go to church Sunday after Sunday, Bible study after Bible study, and they come back home. And if you don't see people life changing, y'all, that's a sign of unbelief and doubt there. Because the way that God's word have the ability to transform our life. And just like when I believed on Jesus in my heart and confessed him with my mouth, what took place? My life was transformed.
Yeah, and as you were talking, I was sitting here, I was in Yugoslavia, in Russia, and I was sitting there, what am I sensing from this discussion that's going to help me when the rockets start flying, when the bullets start flying? And I was just sitting there thinking about all that. Because we have listeners in both places. And how do I get comfort from the word in those places in this time? I know what we've gone through here. I know sometimes it was dark, it was dreary. But our ancestors stood on the word, and they were able to defeat the enemy by standing on the word. And I know that there's various religious groups there in those countries, regardless of what the propaganda is, that especially in Russia, that it's not. But the Creator is there. The Creator has not turned his back on what he created. That's number one.
Amen.
And I guess, not guess, if I was sitting in one of those countries today, I would be standing on the word, and the dynamics would be slightly different from what I'm going through here in this country. We still are being attacked. We still had to stand on the word, and we have to believe that a change, that the Creator will bring about the change, that the Creator will protect and provide for us as we go through this. So, what I'm saying is that for those who are listening outside of the geographical area that we are in, the word is just as powerful in your situation and in your circumstances as it is for us who sit here. It may look like that everything is great. Well, where in terms of our perspective, where we are, and what our expectation is, it's not great as it could be. Attacks are coming. We are being attacked, not with bullets, but we are being attacked in the spirit realm. And we're being attacked by individuals who are attempting to take away our rights. Rights that somebody like you guys now, what you're going through now, you're giving your life for this. For the right. Somebody gave their lives for the rights that we are benefiting from right now, right here and now.
That's right.
And And you got this other group that's in the process of trying to take those rights away. Now, we have to stand on the promise that the Creator made to our ancestors. Otherwise, the enemy is going to take away that which we were given. So, I want you all to think about it. Get into the Word and find that scripture, as we have said here. Find a scripture that tells you what the Creator has promised to do for you, and stand on that word. And I have arrived at the position is because I went through the accident I went through, that sometimes God's will is not exactly the same as your will, but indirectly, He still provides and comfort and protect you. I did not grow a left hand. I lost it. But I lost my hand so that I could live. If I hadn't lost my hand, I would have been dead. So I see that as a blessing, the lost hand as being a blessing. And I give God the thanks and praise for that. So just sit and meditate and reflect and look at what's happening to you and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the purpose. Anyone else have any other comments as we put ourselves in the situation where some people are that their faith as a possibility, as you were saying, faith. It's faith. What do you have your faith in? Do you have your faith in the bullet? Do you have your faith in the word? What is it that you can stand on that gives you comfort? What is it that you can stand on that you can have peace, the peace that passes all understanding? Not the peace that you can see or experience with the five senses right now, but that peace that passes the ability for those five senses to comprehend what is happening.
And Apostle Armstrong, you know, it's according to the degree of what you're in. When you were talking, I was just thinking about, if I had a headache, and I take some medicine or something for the headache. But when I was diagnosed with cancer, I had to go through a much deeper, longer treatment. But healing was still the outcome. So we can't be casual about the word. Some of us just want a little bit of word, but we want a great big harvest. Your seed is going to be, your harvest is going to be based on your seed. And you have to really get that word in you more than the things that seemingly is coming against you. And it's not always comfortable. It's not always comfortable. God's will is always the same, Prophet Moses, but his methods change. You know, he had every intention of bringing those children of Egypt, the Egyptians out. He had every intention. But because they had unbelief, because they were murmuring and grumbling and complaining, he had to take them another way. But he his intent was still to bring them out. So sometimes it's not God that's taking us through that long way. Sometimes it's us. Sometimes our mouths. Sometimes, you know, our mouths put us in places that God said, "Well, I told you don't say that. I told you that death and life is in the power of your tongue. And I keep telling you to live, and you keep saying you're going to die. I keep telling you that the enemy will not have, I've given you power and authority over the enemy. And you say the devil just running." He said, "No, that long route that you're on now is not because that was my plan to teach you anything. That long route was to show you what was in your heart so you could get it out and come into agreement with what I've said." So it's according to where you are in life. It's according to what what's happening to you right now. I have a lady at my church, and she's been in the hospital now for a month. And I've been to see her, and I'm like, why is there no healing scriptures going in here? Why is there no, you know, this is not the time where she's kind of in and out of it, but your spirit is always open, you know. And right now she needs that word more than anything else in the world. She needs to hear, you know, that word just going in her constantly over and over and over and over, because that's how faith comes. And the Bible says, by him waiting patiently in faith, he received the promise. So we're going to have to just really put that word back in the importance where it needs to be, prioritize it again, and you will find that that will cause you to have hope, because the word of God will give you hope.
You know, to Apostle Gwen, even while you're saying that, the thought came, the Lord, until we really believe his God will for us to be well, his God will for all our needs to be met. As people, if you believe it's God will for you to be sick, well, you're not going to stand up against the enemy of when pain comes. You're not going to say, well, it must be the will of God for me to be sick.
Yeah.
It must be will of God for me not to have this or not have that. You know, and we, this is where we got to renew our mind and keep our mind renewed. Because, you know, I've had people tell me, well, Prophet Miller, you're going to die yourself. I don't have to be sick to die.
That's right.
This is what some people, they really believe that. You know, and like I tell people, my faith about healing is not about somebody experience. About healing is what God says. And see, we got to make sure that our faith and confidence is what God say in his word, not somebody experience. Because you don't know where they was in their faith when it came down to him. You don't know. So Lord let me know that a long time ago. And so a lot of people, they got to get it in their head. It's not God's will for me to be sick. So whenever sickness show up, they can fight it, they can resist it,
and they can
stand on what God say. But if you believe, well, you know, I'm getting old and arthritis trying to kick in, and you know when you get old, all of this stuff. I tell people, admit, no, it's not. I thank God,
amen.
You know, 67. I get out and, you know, my house on the acre land. I push half of it. I get out there. I work. I keep my own grass. I do what I got to do. And every time I say, God, thank you for strengthening me. I get out every morning at 6 o'clock. I walk in my neighborhood, you know, and I tell the Lord, I say, Lord, I just want to thank you for fulfilling your word in my life. And there too again, that's why I said, we got to really get it in us. Like I said, go back to the beginning. Do you really believe what God said about you and your problem? Because God done already spoke on it. God done already gave you the solution to your problem. He done told you how it's going to turn. But it come back. Do I really believe and trust what God said? And can't nobody answer that question but each individual.
Right. That's right.
But if you believe that it's God's will for you to be sick, if you really get that thing in you, you can hear all you want. I listen to Kenneth Copeland, they, and some of these people that God blessed to do healing through. But you got people said red in town and know they need healing, but they don't believe. They don't believe if I go over there and they lay hands on me, I'll be healed.
Yeah.
And that's why I said a lot of times the Bible tells us that we had to examine ourselves to see whether we in faith or not.
That's right.
And like I said, I've been reading a lot lately, and as I read, I said, do you believe that, Ed? Do you really trust that? I'm talking to me. Now, even what I'm saying now, I believe I'm not the only one like that. Because what is apostle you were saying, there's a lot of things coming at us now. And we got to really say, in these evil days, do I really believe and trust what God say about me? Because if I'm fresh and I'm walking around here, mama ain't complaining about it all the time, I don't believe and trust what God
says.
Yeah, there's one other scripture. And that one is found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, 13. And it speaks to what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing on this radio ministry. Why we are speaking the gospel message into the ears of the hearers. And those who have their Bible, their eyes are being opened to what the Creator has told His Son. Told His Son, and His Son only gave us that which the Father gave Him. And then Paul understanding and what he observed in those churches that he was connected with, this is what he was telling them. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, remember now, God said that we are the people of purpose. That He gave me that whilst I was away from my third day spiritual retreat. That we are the people of purpose. And for us to be a people of purpose, we must be His chosen people. And it says, that He says, people of purpose, holy and dearly loved.
Mm-hmm.
Holy and dearly loved by the Creator. Close yourself with compassion. This is what we must do. Close yourself with compassion, kindness, humble, gentleness, and patience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the rest of this, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against anyone, forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Mm-hmm.
But that first part speaks directly to what is happening right now in this hour, in the now, in this time. And that's what we took our time. Our time is the Creator's time, not ours. But since we are His people of purpose, we are the ones that He chose. Therefore, this is His time that we are operating in. So I just want to put that word out there. Not that we are puffed up or anything. We are humble. Humble enough to know that there is a power. There is a force. There is a being. And that being we know as our Creator, the Holy One, the Messiah, who is the Son of the Father. And He gave us the word that the Father gave Him. And He gave it to the disciples. And the disciples passed it down. And that word that we're giving, that we're speaking now, is just as powerful and just as reflective of the power of the Father, the Creator, as it was whenever the Son gave it to the 12 men, the disciples, His disciples. So, do you believe that becomes the question? So we start out with patience. And what did Apostle Miller add to it? Apostle Miller, you said the question that you had, do I really believe what I just heard or what I just said? That is the key word that we want to leave everybody with today. Key phrase we want to leave people with today. And we want you to think about it. Meditate on it. Reflect on it. Get the Bible and see, do your search. And they're trying to tell us we got 60 seconds. So who would like to pray us off?
Go ahead, Prophet Miller.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to say thank you again for this opportunity. We thank you for all of those that were listening to it. And Father, we just bless your name. And Father, I just pray that even as you continue to reveal to us our heart through our circumstances, Father, I even ask you to forgive us. Because, Father, sometimes we think we be believing, but we be in unbelief. And I'm reminded when Jesus asked the man, do you believe I can do it? He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And Father, help us to be true to ourselves and as well as to you. If we do have doubt and unbelief, when you reveal to us through the Holy Spirit what's in our heart, all we need to do is repent, because unbelief is sin. Doubt is sin. And Father, you want us. You want us to trust you. You want us to hold fast to the profession of our faith. You want us to know how you function. You want to connect. You want to do everything your words say about you. But Father, help us today, even the more.
Yes.
And my prayer today that you'll continue to reveal and expose our heart to each one of us. So if it's doubt, it's unbelief, we'll humble ourselves and say, Father, forgive me for my doubt, for my unbelief.
Yes.
And Father, you will forgive us, but you want us to confess it. You want us to acknowledge that we have problems. And there's so many people that tune in today, they have problems. And Father, I pray, as they confess their problem to you, you such a loving Father, you such a merciful Father, that you will come to their rescue.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Shalom until next week. May the peace of shalom be with all.
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.